Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry, and with me today is Aaron Shafewalaf, my colleague at MRM. And today, Aaron, we would like to talk about God's nature, God's glory.
Yes.
How does that compare between what we believe as Christians and what members of the LDS Church might believe?
And I'll have to warn the listeners here, I get passionate about this. I'm putting the microphone a couple inches from my mouth. This is not easy breezy stuff. This is hardcore stuff. This is God's glorious nature. This is what most matters. So I just want to start off by saying in Revelation 4:8, the angels are around the throne of God and they're saying day and night forever. These angels, they do nothing but say, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." They're not worshiping God merely for who he is, but for who he always was and for who he always will be. Holy, holy, holy. They are worshiping God for all of it. They're not turning a blind eye to some embarrassing past that God has. You know, they're not saying, "Well, you became worshipable about 2 billion years ago, but before that..."
What a reputation you had, God.
And just think about God's bigness. In Isaiah 40, it said, "Who has taught God knowledge? Who's given God the path of justice, or given him understanding or wisdom? Behold, the nations are like a drop in the bucket, a drop from a bucket." And it goes on to say, "It is he who sits above the circle of the earth, and all its inhabitants are like grasshoppers." And God says, "To whom will you compare me that I should be like him?" says the Holy One. And he goes on to say in Isaiah, "I am the Lord, and that is my name, my glory I will not give to another." In Isaiah 43:10, he says, "Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me." And he says in Isaiah 44, "I am the first, and I am the last. Besides me, there is no God." 2 verses later, verse 8, "Is there a God beside me? Yea, there is no God. I know not any." And he goes on to say in Isaiah 46, I think it's, "I am God, and there is none other. I am God, and there is none like me." And I'll just, one more here. In Isaiah 48, just listen to this. Isaiah 48, 9 and 11. "For my name's sake, I defer my anger. For the sake of my praise, I restrain it for you, that I may not cut you off. For my own sake, for my own sake, I do it. For how should my name be profaned? My glory I will not give to another." So, no gods beside him, none formed before or after him. He alone is God, none is like him. To whom will you compare him? None were formed before or after him, and he alone gets all the glory.
And it would be difficult for a Mormon to say that those verses are not translated correctly, because if you looked at the Joseph Smith translation, or the inspired version, as it's often referred to by some, you're going to find that those verses read very much the same way King James. In fact, some of them he changes ever so slightly, some of the words, but it's still the same meaning. It doesn't change.
In fact, he even tries to make it sound, if at all possible, even more monotheistic than it was. Smith had a very Protestantish theology at the time of the Joseph Smith translation. But so, some questions I like to ask Mormons. This is a big one I like to ask a lot. And be led by the Holy Spirit. Do your homework. Be filled with a passion for the glory of God and love for people. But this is a pretty hardcore question to ask Mormons. Do you believe that God the Father was once, perhaps, a sinner before he became a god.
Are you basing this on the Lorenzo Snow couplet?
Mormonism teaches, as man is, God once was. Exactly. As God is, man may be. And Joseph Smith says, I'm going to tell you how God came to be God. We have imagined and supposed that God was God from all eternity. I will refute that idea and take away the veil so that you may see God was once a man as we are now, and we have got to learn how to be gods, the same as all the gods have done before you. Is it you? And here's the thing. Two-thirds of the Mormons I ask that question to will say that at least God perhaps was once a sinner. It's yes, it's maybe, it's probably, it's perhaps, it's I don't know, it's a whole range. And about one-third of the Mormons will say God was once a sinless savior for another planet. So there's this bigger question of, in the larger genealogy of the gods and the generations of the gods, did we just get lucky in our generation to have a never sinned God, or did we get stuck with a God who was once a sinner before he became a God? This is pretty hardcore stuff. This is not stuff that
Well, some of the answers that you've received on this is, some will say, well, I hope so, because it makes me feel like God better understands me,
or gives you
through some of those,
or it gives them comfort that they can become a God, just like God, who was once a sinful mortal, became a God. I mean, go to God NeverSinned.com. Watch the video interviews for yourself with Mormons. I put the whole gamut of all the diversity of all the responses I get. But more questions to ask. Even Mormons who say, I don't believe God sinned ever in the past as a mere mortal. It's good to ask follow-up questions, because some Mormons will qualify it and I have to kind of pull it and probe, and they end up saying, well, he never sinned. Oh, but maybe he was a sinner beyond this eternity. And by never, I mean this eternity. It's got all these kind of crazy qualifications. Or he never sinned as God, but as a man. Well, he received the atonement, and the power of the atonement renders it as though he never sinned. So you got to kind of have to get the follow up with probing questions. But even Mormons who really do believe God never sinned, I like to ask, well, if you ever met a Mormon who did believe God was once a sinner, would that bother you? And most Mormons will tell me, no, not a big deal. Doesn't bother me. Wouldn't bother me. And so it's a heart issue. It's a heart issue. So one hard, good question to ask is, what do you think the definition of idolatry is? Or what do you think the definition of blasphemy is? And just help in the conversation your Mormon friend or stranger to understand that idolatry is, the substance of idolatry is much deeper than worshiping a wooden idol. It goes to the core of exchanging the truth about God for a lie.
I tell you, asking that question, I found it's eye-opening to see how Mormons respond to it. And I do think it's very important, because we look at our God, as you has just said, as such a holy, holy God. And it makes you wonder, well, if they're going to believe that their God, in fact, was a sinner during his mortality, why is he telling us not to sin and actually holding it over our head that unless we keep all of the commandments and repent of all of our sins, as the Doctrine and Covenants makes it very clear. If God didn't really do that, why is he expecting that of the LDS people?
And I think you're going into the impossible gospel standard of perfection. That's sort of the substance of what you're saying. The idea is that I think the Mormon would say, well, he did somehow meet the standard for becoming a god. But still, I mean...
But is a Mormon going to do that in their mortality? I've never met one.
Well, that goes to another issue of, you know, what does Mormonism teach is required to have your sins forgiven, and what's the deadline for that, and there's a perfectionistic strain in Mormonism that people really have to take seriously. But one question I like to ask Mormons is, if you become a god someday, will you have perhaps billions of spirit children who will worship you and pray to you as the Most High God for them? It's kind of an abusive language even to think about it, but it's good because Mormons, you just even sit, well, you have spirit children who say something like, holy, holy, holy is Bill Almighty, who was and is to come. And usually a Mormon will kind of...
That's troubling just having you say that.
Just, yeah, they'll usually chuckle and I'll say, you know, you remember that. Yeah. You laughed. Even you know in your heart that that's wrong to think that you could ever be worshipped properly someday.
But, and yet Orson Pratt in The Seer actually says just that, that they will be worshipped when they get their own world and they start repeating this process. And so that they also will be worshipped as the one they worship right now, Elohim.
Another question I like to ask is...
Very quickly.
If you have spirit children someday who start to worship you, will you receive that worship or will you refuse it and redirect it to the Most High God? And if I could be provocative, sometimes I like to say, look, this is good with teens. If you ever have spirit children who start to worship you in the afterlife, just spank them.
Just spank them.
Say, don't worship me. Worship the one true God, the Most High, the Holy of Holies, the name above all names, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords.
Aaron, why don't you tell us about your God Never Sin project?
Well, I did a bunch of video interviews asking Mormons if they believe God was once perhaps a sinner. And I put up a whole gamut, a diversity of responses at godneversinned.com. And I would encourage Mormons and non-Mormons to check it out, see what Mormons are saying in response to that question. And I would encourage the evangelical Christians to watch it, have their hearts stirred up so they'll pray for the Mormon people. And Mormons, I would watch it to get a sense of how serious this issue is in your religion. This is a huge problem.
Yeah, I would strongly encourage people. I've looked at those videos, and they're quite impressive. And if you're a Latter-day Saint listening today, I would check that out. If you're an evangelical Christian, check it out also. But there's some good stuff on there. And also to check out our website at mrm.org. And if there's anything that we can do for you at Mormonism Research Ministry, then by all means, then please write us, and we'll do our best to try to answer your questions. And I thank you, Aaron. These are good, thought-provoking questions. We hope that Christians listening will be able to use them in a real-life situation. And wish you the best, and thank you for being with us today.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism.